Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrus. This went on for 2 years, so that when all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Caesarea, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul. But who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believe now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Acts chapter 19. Let's come before the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Father God, as we approach your word this morning and as we reflect on what the Holy Spirit's doing in these verses, we pray that you would guide us this morning. We pray that you would help us to understand or at least grasp even a glimpse of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ as ruler of heaven and earth, ruler over all things. Lord, we pray that this morning as we reflect on these verses, our hearts would be encouraged to hold him in reverence and in fear, understanding that he is the one who has all authority. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a very dangerous thing to underestimate the power of something that you are dealing with. Now, this story happened to a friend of a friend of mine. And so the names have been changed in order to protect the guilty. There was once a man, let's call him Fred. Now, Fred was a man who'd spent most of his life working with his hands. He knew how to work safely with all sorts of dangerous machinery and chemicals. But on the day in question, he would very suddenly and very abruptly find out that he had seriously underestimated the power of what he was dealing with. Fred just so happened to be cleaning out a friend's shed. And in the process of cleaning out this shed, he came across a type of powder. This powder is commonly used in fireworks and old ammunition. But this was going to be no problem for Fred. After all, Fred was licensed to deal with these kinds of dangerous materials, not to mention the fact that he'd watched more than a few spaghetti westerns. And so Fred knew that if you spread this powder out in a long line and then lit it up, you could just watch it slowly trick along and burn. That's what they do all the time in the spaghetti westerns, and it works for them. But as it turns out, Fred really didn't understand the power that he was dealing with. From the moment that flame hit that powder, all Fred saw, so I'm told, was a bright light and an intense heat like he'd never felt before. as the powder exploded, throwing small rocks everywhere. Thankfully for Fred, he survived that experience, even if it did leave him with a fairly wounded pride and some fairly serious burns. But as serious as that situation was, and as bad as that could have been, it pales in significance to the seriousness of underestimating the power and authority of Jesus Christ, which is sadly something that is all too common. It's common for us to focus on the attributes of Christ that we resonate with the most, because they are, after all, the ones that reassure us, the ones that provide us with hope. Attributes like his patience, his love, and his mercy. But if they are the only attributes that we acknowledge in Christ, if they are the only character traits that we speak about or think about, then before long we'll find ourselves underestimating the power and authority of Jesus. And we'll begin to take for granted his patience, mercy, and love. The same Jesus who humbled himself and was born as a man. The same Jesus who is tempted, persecuted, and suffered. The same Jesus who died on the cross and then rose again is the same Jesus who will one day judge the living and the dead. The one who every knee will bow to. The one who every tongue will confess. And so if we have faith in Jesus, we cannot afford to underestimate the power and the authority of the one we serve. In today's passage, Paul is still in the early stages of his third missionary journey. And during the whole period of these verses, he's in Ephesus. And as these verses begin, Paul employs his normal tactic for preaching the good news. He goes into the local synagogue and begins to share the good news of Jesus with the Jews there. So on the Sabbath, for 3 months, every Sabbath day, Paul would go into that synagogue and he would share the good news of Jesus with everyone who was willing to listen, and along the way providing the reason for the hope that he has in Jesus. Paul kept on doing this every Sabbath day until some of the Jews hardened their hearts so much that they began to oppose Paul. They spoke out publicly, saying all sorts of false things against Paul, against Jesus, and against the good news. And they did this until Paul had finally had enough. And so he and those who had believed in the good news of Jesus left that synagogue and went to a lecture hall called the Lecture Hall of Tyrannus, a place where they could continue to learn about the good news of Jesus, where Paul could continue to preach in peace. At first glance, what's happening in these verses doesn't make Jesus sound all that powerful, does it? Paul had been preaching in Jesus' name for 3 months in this synagogue, and yet the people of this synagogue were able to harden their hearts towards him. Worse than that, some of these Jews had been able to publicly state all sorts of lies against Paul and against Jesus himself. And this opposition had become so strong that Paul and the believers had needed to leave that synagogue and find somewhere else. First glance, these verses would appear as though the opposition of these Jews was hindering the gospel so much that the Christians, the believers, were needing to go underground. Then we read in verse 11 that just as it appeared as though the gospel was going to be hindered by this opposition, God protected Paul and allowed him to share the good news of Jesus for 2 whole years, an incredibly long time for Paul to stay in anywhere, so that everyone in the province of Asia, both Jew and Gentile, had the opportunity to hear and believe the good news. Verses 11 and 12 tell us that During this time, God was doing some incredible miracles through the Apostle Paul. In fact, these miracles were so out of the ordinary that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, makes sure to mention that these were extraordinary miracles, even for one of the apostles of Christ Jesus. God was displaying a glimpse of the power and the authority of Christ through Paul. But these were very strange miracles. Verse 12 tells us that handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul, these handkerchiefs and aprons were taken to the sick and to the demon-possessed, and they were healed of whatever was making them unwell. God was making the people aware that there was power in Jesus' name. And as people began to understand that there was power in Jesus' name, or that there is power in Jesus' name, word spread. Sadly, some people, some of the Jews, they tried to use this power to their own advantage. And sadly, they didn't understand the power and the authority they were messing with. Verse 13 tells us that some Jews, we aren't told how many, were driving out spirits in Jesus' name. And among those who were doing this, who were using Jesus' name as a magic word to drive out demons, were the seven sons of a Jewish chief priest named Sceva. Luke seems to be indicating in verse 14 that this may not have even been their first time doing this, the one that is recorded in these verses. But one day, when they were trying to cast an evil spirit out of a man, the evil spirit heard them, recognized that they weren't sent by Christ, and said these words, "Jesus I know, and I know Paul, but who are you?" These young men had been trying to use Jesus' word as Jesus' name as a magical phrase in order for them to do what would otherwise be impossible. Despite the fact that they knew that there was power in Jesus' name, they had no idea of the power they were messing with. They certainly had no respect for Christ and his authority. For Jesus, or for the Apostle Paul, casting out a demon like this was no big deal. Because compared to the power and the authority of Christ, well, a demon stood no chance at all. But compared to the power of this evil spirit, these men never stood a chance. They weren't trying to cast this evil spirit out to bring Christ glory, or to encourage people to him, or even out of compassion for this poor man. They were trying to perform this miracle to make a name for themselves. And so even though they were using Jesus' name, they were doing this work in their own strength. When the demon recognized that they weren't sent by Christ, that there was no work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, the evil spirit caused the man who was possessed to overpower all seven of them and to beat them so badly they fled for their lives, beaten, bloody, and naked. These seven sons of Sceva had learnt the hard way just how dangerous it is to underestimate the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Both Jesus and his servant Paul were able to easily drive out demons, evil spirits, because Jesus has authority over the spiritual realm. But compared to these seven men, in their own strength, this evil spirit was exceedingly powerful. And as news spread of what this evil spirit had done to the seven sons of Sceva, it's really quite remarkable what happens. All the people were seized with fear, but they weren't afraid of this evil spirit. That wasn't what their fear was directed at. It was in the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Their fear and reverence was directed at Jesus. Verse 17 tells us that because of the fear of the Lord that had come on all of the people, the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. They now understood the power and authority of Jesus, and they're holding his name with reverence and fear. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of trail bike riding, dirt bike riding. And I used to always say that it's good to have a few small crashes. Doesn't sound like a good thing, but when you have a few small crashes at slow speeds, it tends to make you aware of the possibility of a much bigger accident. Because those small crashes give you a healthy fear of what could happen. They remind you that it could happen to you, and that if you aren't careful, it will happen to you. And that's the kind of fear that had come across the people. They now understood. They now had a healthy respect of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. An understanding that if they didn't heed this warning, warning of what had happened to these seven sons of Sceva, they too would face God's judgment. And so the people's hearts were convicted. Those who had come to believe confessed their sins. The word used there for sins actually directly relates to divination and to sorcery. And these same people who were practicing these things, sorcery and divination, brought their scrolls together and burnt them, despite the huge financial cost to these people. This was a genuine, heartfelt repentance of a people who now understood the power and authority of Christ Jesus, the one in which they were coming to serve. And as others saw the radical change in these people's lives, this practical difference of them putting away their old things and turning to the new life, the word of the Lord spread. And it worked powerfully among the people, healing people physically and spiritually in Jesus' name. Today's passage is reminding us of the power and authority of Jesus Christ and his name. It is through faith in Christ Jesus and his name that we receive salvation through what he has done for us on the cross. Romans 10 verse 9 reminds us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The name of Jesus is powerful. It carries the power of salvation for all who believe. But Jesus isn't a magic word. Jesus' name isn't a magic word that we can use to get whatever we want. It isn't a get-out-of-judgment-free card. It is the name of the one who has all authority in this world and the next. And so unless our confession of faith in Christ Jesus is accompanied by faith in his work for us on the cross, we're no better off than the seven sons of Sceva. We can't claim to live for Christ Jesus without there being a change in our lives like these people in Ephesus, because God's love for us never leaves anyone unchanged. And so these verses are raising two questions that we all need to be able to answer for ourselves. The first question is, have we experienced the power and authority of Jesus Christ for ourselves? It's very easy to say that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth without having ever experienced that power for ourselves. I'm not suggesting that we need to see demons being cast out or some sort of miraculous sign, but we should all know the supernatural power of Christ to save us, to save our souls. Even if we've grown up in the church, living good and moral lives, there is still a radical change in the lives who have had the Holy Spirit work in them. A radical reordering of priorities and direction and hope. And if we've experienced the supernatural power of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls, are we, like these Ephesians, taking steps to put away our old life and to live for him? When these Ephesians came to understand the power and the authority of Christ Jesus, their steps were very, very practical. Their first reaction was to treat the name of Jesus with reverence and with fear. Once they'd experienced the power and authority far beyond anything in their own control, the wise response is always to treat that power and authority with fear and respect. And the second thing these Ephesians did was to confess their sins. They knew that Jesus and his name had far more power and authority than anything in the spiritual realm, which they feared a lot. They knew that there was nothing they could do to hide from him. And so they confessed their sins and called out to him for mercy. They put away anything that was not living for Christ, anything that was incompatible with the name that they had confessed. They burned these scrolls. There's all sorts of calculations as to how much these scrolls cost, but I think the point is that they were very, very expensive. This hit their hip pocket hard. Despite that incredible financial cost, despite this loss of income as well, they put away their old life to follow Jesus. They responded in faith and repentance. And so if we are among those who have experienced the power and the authority of Christ Jesus to save, we have confidence that he defeated sin, death, and the devil. Let's not be among those who underestimate the power and the authority of the one in whom we serve. Let's not underestimate his power to change us, to make us more like Christ, to grow us in obedience to him, and to use us to bring others to himself. Let's give Christ all of the glory. Let's hold his name in fear and reverence, respecting the power and the authority of the one in whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have all come to you without grasping your authority, your power, your control over all things. Lord, help us not to come to you in a way that undermines your authority. Help us to respect who you are, to understand our own guilt before our perfectly holy God, to understand our need for your forgiveness. Help us to hold your name in reverence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.